Matthew chapter 5. Turn with me there today. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 5 as we continue our series on earth as it is in heaven. Most people will tell you they're great with going to heaven when they die, but not so many are interested in heaven being displayed in their earthly life now. And I hope you hear me in this series, church. Ultimately, when Jesus talked about eternal life and the kingdom of God, he talked more about our lives now and how we should live now than he did about heaven or the hereafter. It's great to know when you know Jesus, you're going to heaven when you die. You can know that for sure today. Isn't that good news, church? You can know for sure that because Jesus died and rose again, if you've repented of sin and placed faith in him, our salvation is kept by Jesus himself. It's great to have that assurance, but that assurance and the Holy Spirit now living in us through salvation should affect our lives now. We're to live for his kingdom now. Kingdom come. Isn't that what Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer? Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so last week we looked at the Beatitudes, right? So blessed are the poor in spirit and those who mourn and the meek and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and the merciful and the pure in heart and the peacemakers. Blessed are the persecuted. And whenever you read the Beatitudes, it's easy if you read only that section to walk away from it thinking that God has called us to a separatist life. This life that is to be totally separate and distant from and even somewhat isolated from, almost monastic, right? Like a monk, separated from culture. Well, right after the Beatitudes, verses 13 through 16, what does Jesus say there? He says that we are to be what? Salt and light, right? That's what we're to be in this generation, salt and light. And there's so much significance to this idea of salt and of light if you take it back to Jesus' day. Salt for us today, I mean, what all do we use salt for? Well, you put it on your food, amen? That's pretty simple. You cook with it, right? It's an ingredient you cook with. There's a whole lot of other uses if you look it up online and you research it a little bit. Lots of other uses for salt. Did you realize, ladies, you can exfoliate your skin with salt? Right? That's something you could use there. Did you realize that that you can basically get all of the ants and the worms off your garden with salt? You realize that? You can use salt to get ants and worms and different things off of your garden. I mean, some of you may have a pool, a salt, you know, cleaned or purified pool. I mean, there's so many different ways we can use salt. But in Jesus's day, salt was a huge deal. Salt before modern refrigeration, right? It was used to preserve food, to preserve meat. And literally having salt or not having it was somewhat a matter of life and death in many situations. Did you know that there were wars that were fought in ancient days over salt? Did you realize that there were entire economies? This is interesting. If you look it up, that were based on salt economies. And so salt was a huge deal in Jesus's day. And then light, right? So we've got, you know, electricity, flashlights, power, all this stuff. Well, obviously they didn't have that in Jesus's day. And so going from city to city, especially, he's going to talk in this passage about also being a city on a hill. And it brings in this idea of being the light of the world and the hope, if you will, of the world. With them not having, obviously, modern electricity and those things, well, it was only in the cities that they had significant light. When you travel from place to place, if it was at night or all of a sudden it began to get dark as you were traveling from city to city, it was a major problem for safety, security, also for being able to see where you were going and safely get to where you were trying to head. Without the light, it's a major problem. So within these cities where they had all this light, right? Candles and all the fire and all this light there. It was this picture of just hope for people. And so too, church, don't miss the picture. God has not called us. Some believe that God has called us to this completely separate, isolated life. But He has not called us to isolation. He's called us to incarnation. What's the difference? What did Jesus do for us? Did He stay in heaven and say, hey, listen, I can't spend any time with all you unholy, sinful people, right? I can't come down and engage in your mess. You've messed this thing up, so you got to figure it out. Is that what Jesus told us? Come on, church. No, aren't you glad that Jesus stepped into our mess? And by the way, whenever you read all of the New, especially the New Testament, you see where not only did He step into our mess, come on somebody, through the Holy Spirit, He still steps into our mess. Even right now. If you come in today a mess, you're the perfect candidate for the gospel. For Jesus, you're the one He's looking for. The person who's in a mess who says, God, I need your help. Now He can step in and He can make that difference, eternal difference. And so, salt and light, we're not called to isolate, we're called to incarnate. Jesus took on flesh, dwelt among us. So too, in our circles of influence, in our families, our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods, salt and light, we are to be the preservative there. We are to be the light of God's truth there. We are to be the salt of His love. The Bible tells us we should season even our speech with grace, as it were, with salt. And I believe it's Colossians chapter 4, if I remember right. And so we're to be salty. Y'all all right? And nowhere near the same idea of the way we think about salty. We're to be salty, this idea of Jesus salty, loving and gracious, truthful and honest. Bold as well, right? You think about light. How many of you, your mama would come in and flip the light on when you were a kid, when you laid up in the bed in the morning? Did your mom do that? My mom would do that from time to time. That's a blessing. Amen. Flipping that light on first thing in the morning. We do it to our kids from time to time if they're laying in the bed and running late for school. You flip that light on, man, it's jarring. It's shocking. I mean, even that part of it as children of God, we're not called to live antagonistic lives per se, but we are called to speak the truth of the gospel. And in today's world, a lot of it's morality and gendered sexuality is just the thing, right? So what does God's word say about these things? And what does God's word say about Jesus and salvation being in Him and Him alone? And so we're to be the light where we are. Let me ask you a question. Are you being salt, right, and light? Are we genuinely being salt? Are you in the meal for Jesus? Is the flavor of Jesus evident in your life in such a way that it is compelling others to want to know more about Him? Are we being light in our workplaces? Again, not debates and rants and arguments and antagonism, but truth and honesty and love and boldness and integrity and Christian character. He's going to tell us here, let your light shine so that others will see your good works. So it's as much about our example as it is our words, although our words are very important too to witnessing. But what about our life? Are we being Jesus there? This is what Jesus is saying here is, this is the very purpose of our salvation. Think about that for a minute. He saved you and I. He saved us for children of God in the room today. Some of you here are not saved. Today we invite you to receive the free gift of eternal life. Come to Jesus today. He's the only hope we have, and the only way we're made right with God is through faith in Christ. But for children of God today, this is the very purpose of our salvation. He called us out of darkness into light so that we would proclaim the excellencies of Him. 1 Peter chapter 2. So let's just get gut level honest today. Are we being this? Are we genuinely salt and light? in our circles of influence. And in this passage, Jesus is going to go on to tell us what that looks like. He's going to show us what it looks like, and we're going to lean into that. Can we do that? Matthew chapter 5. Let's read there together today. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Jesus says here, you are the salt of the earth. Look at your neighbor and say, be salty. Come on, just tell them right now. Come on, be salty. Yeah, not mean or critical, not like that, right? Not culture salty, Christ salty. Be salty. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt, come on now in this culture, we can't affirm the stuff, we can't celebrate all the things that we know are against God's word. We can't get on Facebook and celebrate the coworker who's coming out. We can't. Y'all okay today? Y'all all right? Salty, right? We're getting a little salty, you know, with the culture. That's not our intent, right? Is to offend. But how many of you know today the gospel offends? Come on now. Aren't you glad, by the way, that the gospel offended you enough to where the Spirit of God convicted your heart and you got saved? Come on, somebody. You don't know you need Jesus till you know that you're in a mess. And so we have to know that sin is there. Thank God for people who spoke into my life the gospel and said, hey, man, God wants to change your life. Don't go down this path. But if salt, look at this, should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? If it doesn't have any flavor, what good is it? A child of God who doesn't talk about Jesus or stand for Christ in the workplace, what good? And listen to me, we're not talking about your value before God. We're talking about your usefulness. What use is that? What good is that? We're all created in God's image, right here by divine design. Your life is very important. But usefulness, what good? What use is that? That's what he's talking about here. And so it's no longer, look at this, good for anything. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a good-for-nothing Christian. Do you? I don't want to be a good for nothing, walking around and you know, saying I'm a child of God, but not exemplifying that. And that's the challenge here. Remember, he's talking to the disciples here, right? He's like, guys, you're not just fishermen out here. You're not just to kind of check out and go catch fish or just kind of buzz along, do your thing. I've got a bigger plan and purpose for you. I've called you to a mission. And so it's a salt that's lost its taste. It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are, verse 14, the what? Light of the world. A city on a hill, we'll talk about what that means in just a moment, cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Listen, guys, the church is the basket. If all you do is shine your light in here, it's no good. The church is the basket. We can all shine our light in here. This is a place, by the way, where folks will celebrate with you. Those of you here don't know Jesus today. This is not a place of condemnation or shame. This is a place of celebration and love and encouragement. And God wants us to live for him outside of here, right? To be the light to the world. And so he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. Nobody lights a lamp and just keeps it in the church building. Nobody lights a lamp and simply keeps it in your home, although that is the first step. It's to disciple our own and to talk about Jesus at home. So you don't just put it under a basket, but rather you put it on a lampstand. And it gives light for all folks, right? All who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works. As a child of God, we've got good works and a good word. And we ought to be giving both, living and giving, living out good works and giving a good word for Jesus at the same time. And so let your good works give glory, right? That they would see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. What does it look like to be salt and light? Let's dive right into it. Number one, if we're going to be salt and light, we have to first find our identity, come on church, in Christ. What we talk about most, what is on our mind and on our lips is typically most often our identity, what we identify most with and what we celebrate and really promote. And what he says here, find your identity in Christ. Where does he say that? Did you notice this? He says, children of God, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So often I have read this passage. I've even preached it numerous times. and said, hey, be salt and be light. And yes, that's a big part of this. But children of God, don't miss it. He actually starts here by saying, hey, disciples, you are salt. Aren't you glad today you're saved in Jesus' name? Blessed and highly favored, empowered of God. The Bible says, child of God, listen, today, if you're saved, that you have everything you need to live a life of godliness before others. You may come in today with shame or guilt or feeling like you don't know. Man, how can I make a difference in somebody's life? I don't know enough about the Bible, or I've done too much bad stuff in my past. People know too much stuff about me, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not talented enough, right, to make a difference, or I don't have the gifts to make a difference in somebody else's life. How many of you know today that's all lies of the devil, right? Whatever God's done in your life, your testimony is incredibly powerful. Don't ever negate the power of God's work in your life, of your testimony. Just a simple word of what Jesus has done in your life goes so far in other people's lives. And just living for God and being that example for Jesus right here, letting your good works shine, God will use that when it's done in Jesus' name. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That is our identity in Christ. He is able to do far more abundantly than we can ever ask, think, or imagine, according to the power where, church, that's at work, Ephesians 3:20, within us. So don't ever discount or discredit what God can and wants to do through you. I'm too sinful. I don't know enough. I don't have much to offer. I'm not rich enough. So what difference can I make? Listen, what about the widow's mite? Right? Just the two copper coins, which amounted to a penny. God says she gave more than everybody. Man, that's why we call our vision campaign All In, because it's not about a few rich people giving money. This is about all of us giving our heart to Jesus. Come on, somebody. And investing in that. God can use you to bless that neighbor in need, or to bless that person here in our city in need, or to bless that mission ministry. Don't ever negate the power of $1 given to help someone else in need. I'm not smart enough. How am I going to impact someone else? Man, aren't we grateful today for the power of the Holy Spirit and the person of Jesus? And so this is your identity. This is who you are. If you're a child of God, you are a missionary for Jesus. That's our identity. And so we have to wake up every day and recognize that. Okay, today, Father, I am. It's not be salt and light. It's I am salt and light today. In the workplace, I am. God, today, I am. I'm available to you, right? And so we've got to find our identity in the love of God. When you know you are loved by God. And by the way, isn't that what the gospel's all about? Aren't you grateful today that God doesn't love you any more when you're obedient than he does when you're disobedient? Did you know that? That's what the gospel teaches us. And God is, we don't let God down because we're not holding him up. Do you know that, church? Some of you come in today, you feel like, man, I've let God down. You're not holding him up. You're not holding him up. He holds us up in his love. And so we are loved by God. When we find our identity in the love of God, rooted and grounded, as it says in Ephesians 3, in the love of God, now there's birth in us through the Holy Spirit this desire to want to tell others and to live out this life committed unto Christ. And so find your identity there. He says, walk in that identity. Don't lose your flavor, right? The one thing a child of God should never be is boring. Can I get an amen on that? Come on, church. Boring. And I'm not just talking about your personality. I'm talking about the way we live our lives. Like we ought to be, if we're living missional lives, listen to me, to our coworkers, extended family members, those closest to us, there ought to be a little bit of a sense of surprise or wonder at the way that we live our lives. You mean you're going to do what? You're going to go on that mission trip? Yeah, y'all are serving what? Y'all are serving the homeless and the hungry in your city? I mean, y'all are going to move for that ministry reason? You're going to give how much money to bless missions and to help those people in need? You see what I'm saying, church? there ought to be a little bit of wonder among those closest to us when they look and they say, man, this is so much different than the typical world around us. Well, yeah, Jesus makes that kind of difference in us. And so, man, we shouldn't lose our flavor, but also he says, let your light shine. Every morning we got to put it on. We've got to put on this identity every morning and say, I am here for Jesus. Okay? If we're going to be salt and light, number one, we've got to find our identity in Christ. Number two, we must immerse ourselves into the mission. Immerse yourself into it. Don't just kind of swim on the surface. No. Fully immerse yourself into the mission of God. Paul gives us three illustrations here. Again, salt, light, and a city on a hill. This speaks of our purpose. First of all, it speaks of our purpose. The idea behind this, the big idea is salt and light. It's not so much about the preservative and salt's a preservative and it gives flavor to the meal and light illumines and those things. The point is these have a greater purpose beyond their innate characteristics. The child of God is not meant to simply exist. The child of God is not meant to simply exist. Just go to work, come home, pay the bills, live a generally good life and die. That is not the call of the Christian life. We are called to stand out for Christ, to be in the meal, to bring light to the house. That's the idea here. The child of God is not meant to exist. We are meant to be used. So he says here, right, this purpose is to know Jesus and to make him known in this world. That's our purpose. So salt and light are meant to be used. A Christian without a mission is miserable. You ever met some people that say they're followers of Christ, but yet for some reason they seem just as miserable as all get out? You ever met somebody like that? Just as critical and mean and negative as it gets. I thank God that most of the Christians I've met throughout the years are not that way. They serve God, they give. But I've met some that were critical and cynical, right? They've sat in that pew so long and done nothing that they've soaked and they've soured, right? If you sit and you soak, you will sour. And that's what he's saying here, right? Salt that's not being used is no good. You got to throw it out. By the way, the idea of throwing out the salt here, this is good. It's talking about what culture does with the salt when it doesn't have flavor anymore. Oh, the tendency and the temptation in this culture, right, that some churches in different places are falling prey to, where they affirm everything and just celebrate everything. Let's just show love and love is love and all this stuff in our culture. Friends, listen to me. When the church no longer has some salt to it, some truth and some gospel morality and gospel identity, it's useless. That's what he's saying here. And so that temptation to say, well, no, if we're going to reach the culture, then, man, we've got to make friends with the culture and agree with everything, just kind of go along with everything and then kind of point them to the love of God. No, friend, listen to me. The church should be known as much for the truth of the gospel as we are the hospitality and welcoming spirit of the gospel. It's both and, right? And so that's the idea. That's our purpose. But also here, he talks about personal responsibility. You are salt. You are light. Let your light shine. It's been said before that you may be the only Jesus that someone sees. You ever heard that statement before? You may be the only Bible that someone reads. Right? Well, that really is true. That coworker, that family member, that neighbor, that friend, that classmate, young people, teammate, God has you there. This is important. I hope you hear this today. God has you in that job right now. He has you owning that business. He has you in that school, on that team, in that neighborhood. He's got you there for a greater purpose than your own, just your own personal benefit. That's the idea here. It's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, I'm sovereign over all this. And our desire should be to see the kingdom of God come now in people's lives. And I have placed you right where you are right now in the meal to be the salt there. And if you don't bring the salt, it's going to be incredibly bland and, you know, not palatable, not edible in a spiritual sense. You're the one that's there to make the impact. But we've got to take personal responsibility. We've got to own it, right? Every day. That's what he says. Reminds me of the story of I believe it's Benjamin Franklin, if I remember right. Y'all ever heard the story of Benjamin Franklin and the street lamps? In Philadelphia, he lived there. You know, he kept campaigning for street lamps, for them to have street lamps there to, you know, candles, you know, basically, but to have street lamps to provide, you know, safety at night and security and different things. And they kept pushing it down. The local government kept pushing it down. Well, finally he said, you know what? I'm just going to put up my own street lamp. I can do that. So he put a lamp up at his house. Well, lo and behold, his neighbors started noticing that and kind of walked outside at night. They're like, hey, this is kind of nice. It's a whole lot safer right here. I don't have to worry about somebody robbing me in the, you know, in the alleyway right here by the house. I think I'm going to put one too, up too. And slowly but surely, people began to put street lamps up or lamps at their own homes. And before you know it, just about the entire city was full of them. Church, listen to me. Instead of complaining about everybody else that doesn't shine their light, come on now. Let your light shine. We're not going to win anybody to Jesus by protests, criticism, skepticism, cynicism. I'm not saying there's not a place in society or government or structures there's not a place for us to express our disagreement with things politically or things like that. I'm not necessarily saying that, but friends, we're not going to win people to Jesus through debate, argument, criticism, cynicism, skepticism, right? We're going to win people to Christ through relationships, which leads to number three, and we're done today. We've got to immerse ourselves in the mission, but we've also got to invest in our circle of influence. Okay? That's what he's talking about here. And I want to show you this, your gospel missional target. I want to show you this on the screen. These are concentric circles of missional influence that God calls us to. Think of it like a target. When it comes to discipling others and winning others to Jesus, right? The bullseye is your family. How many know that you're called to disciple your family? Come on, church. It starts there. By the way, our kids ministry, student ministry, you know, the ministries of the church. It's our job to come alongside you as parents and families to help you raise your children in the Lord, to provide service and missions opportunities, especially for like our teenagers and college students to be able to go out and express their calling and this missional life. But ultimately, it's each family's job. So the family's number one, number two, right? Next circle is what? Our friends. Those we're closest to. So are we being salt and light with our friends? Number three after that, familiar. Those with whom we're familiar. So acquaintances, co-workers, neighbors, others within our general circle of influence, right? So it starts with our family, moves to our friends, moves to the familiar. But listen to me, this is important too, that it also extends to those who are far away. Far from the church, far from God, but also, church, listen to me, far from you and far from me. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in us, we'll receive power and we will be witnesses, not just in our local area and in our close circle of influence, but also to the ends of the earth. So what about the person that lives in Clarksville or in Montgomery that is far from you? socially, socioeconomically, racially, politically. Hello. Y'all okay today? Well, what about those on the other side of the world? Like mission partners we have in places like India, Nicaragua, and other places. I mean, what about those? Some who are being persecuted vehemently for their stance for Christ. How are we giving to them, praying for them, serving them? And that should be a part of our missional influence as well. And so, church, this is what it looks like to be salt and light. It's family first, friends, and then it just moves out, doesn't it? Friends, familiar. But also, what about those people that aren't in your circle of influence? We're called to be salt and light everywhere that we go. And so, church, today, I mean, genuinely, children of God, are we being salt? Did that die? That's a bad illustration, and I probably should have got a better battery in there. Come on. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. Oh, there it is. You'll remember that one now, though, won't you? Are we being salt and light in our circle of influence? Genuinely, are we being salt and light, or are we just being light in the basket, in the church?
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. So glad you could join us. If you've given your heart to Jesus, text Hope Jesus, all one word, text Hope Jesus to 77411. Hope Jesus, 77411. And let me encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. If you hadn't done that already, make sure to hit that subscribe button and share it out. You never know whose life might be changed by simply sharing this message today. So share it out. Okay? And so thank you again for listening in, and we invite you to listen in with us next week.